Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, celebrating 8 years on the air. That's right. This is our 8th anniversary week, and we're going to be celebrating all week. And I know you're pretty excited about that, aren't you? I promise you it's going to be worth it. We got some really cool folks on the show all this week. Most of them, not all, but almost all of them, are people who've been with us for a long time, and they're so happy about being part of our brain trust, they don't know what to do. One of those guys is Rich Galen. He's almost giddy about being a member of our brain trust. It's like on his resume, it's like the first thing he lists every time. He's the publisher, the writer, the janitor, the accountant, and the main guy over at Mullings.com. Many of you see him on television. He's one of the talking heads. He's one of the smart talking heads that you'll see on television. He's our good friend, Rich Galen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to be with you. Your audience can't know this, but we were having all kinds of trouble trying to get my phone to work. And I said to your producer, this didn't happen when AT&T owned everything, but
it
my
worked.
Wife decided to go with Bob's phone service or something. And, got it.
it's good to have you here, even though with all the difficulty, Rich, and I appreciate you working it out with us. But thank you for being here. Thank you for all the years that you've given us as a member of our brain trust.
You know, you and I started at about the same time then, because I started writing Mullings in 1998.
Yep.
So about March 1st or so.
Yep.
Will be my eighth anniversary.
Eighth anniversary. Yeah. That's exactly right. Well, you know,
I believe we've been doing this for this.
Really good things happened back then. You know, I was telling the audience earlier that the big conglomerates have really changed the landscape of radio. Significantly, but I don't think any of them were even in existence. I don't remember any of them, at least not in their current form, were even in existence when I started doing this in 97.
That's right.
So,
I think they still probably had the ownership rules. You could have 7 AMs and 7 FMs, and that was it.
That actually happened in 96. They changed that law, and I started doing this in 97, but we didn't know how it was going to turn out until then.
Well, Rich, but also 97. Remember, I mean, technology has changed our lives as well.
Oh, yeah.
In both our cases, you, because of satellite transmission, me because of the internet, neither one of which was in widespread use for these uses. At the time, when I started Mullings in 1998, it was a fax service.
Right.
I mean, email wasn't anywhere near ubiquitous.
You could use email, but most people didn't have it.
Exactly. And it was very expensive. It was, I think, 25 cents a page. And so I was very assiduous about not writing more than 500 words, because we realized that we could get the header and, you know, formatted 500 words on one page. And we did not want it to go to a second page, because that doubled the cost of distribution. And then when email became available, my distribution costs for a long time went to zero. Now they're not quite zero, because the database has gotten too big for me to handle. But in our case, both our cases, technology has had a dramatic impact on.
Well, no question about it, because of course I've been nationally syndicated on radio since for now going into our ninth year. But by January of 98, we were simulcasting on the internet. Worldwide by January of 98, which makes us one of the pioneers of streaming.
Talk about it being an early adopter. Boy, you were right there.
We were way out there. And the other thing is, we have people who say, well, how come I can't listen to your archives on Windows Media? And I tell them, because we were archiving before there was a Windows Media player.
Well, I've got every column I've written since 1998 is available on the Internet Archives.
And folks, and you think technology isn't wonderful? The fact that you can go back and read every word that Rich ever did. And by the way, speaking of Richard's, I want to read a line here, Rich, as we get into why you're really here. And this is from King Richard III, Act 1, Scene 1, Line 1, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not my hump.
Now is the winter of our discontent.
Right.
Made glorious summer by this son of York. Now, Rich, I got to ask you, is that not the line of the Republicans?
It certainly is, and it's very apt, and I wish I would have thought of it. Thanks very much for calling me last night and saying, why don't you use this in the
I've done that before, but you won't use my stuff, Rich.
I wrote this morning about the fact that it seems to. I wrote last at the beginning of the month that I think that the tide. that we may have hit low tide, we being the Republican Party. And that's only because the tides of history are inexorable. I mean, no matter what, sooner or later things reverse themselves. And if you're going to have a really bad 4 months, as this administration has had, you'd rather have it in the odd-numbered years than the even-numbered years. That doesn't mean they're going to fix it, but it certainly does mean that the opportunity exists for the Bush administration to get itself upright and turned around. You've heard me talk about this, I think. In last week or a week and a half ago, the Washington Post ABC poll, the last question that they asked was something on the order of, do you trust this administration to make good decisions, or words to that effect? And it was, like the rest of the poll, it was just dreadful. It was like 29-66 or something. And the Post, the Washington Post, showed that they had asked that same question in 1995, December 4th, 1995, about the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, the numbers were even worse. It was 25-71.
Mm-hmm.
And you may remember that 11 months later, almost to the day, Bill Clinton cruised to an easy reelection victory over Bob Dole. The point being that White Houses have an enormous amount of power. If they can get on message, stay on message, and be aggressive about promoting their message to reverse their standing, and the Clinton administration showed that about three times. So it is within the realm of possibility for this White House, and I think the speech that the president gave the other day may have been the opening salvo in deciding.
Why haven't they been fighting back more aggressively?
You know, I really do think that there is a distraction mode, although everybody denies it, and the Clinton administration denied it during the Monica business, and these guys have been denying it during the CIA investigation. But I said to my wife after that speech, I said, if you need proof that Rove is out of the political woods, that speech is it, because they've begun to focus again. They've decided that, when I worked for Gingrich, you get into this mode, and even though you know you're doing it, and this is important for business people, too. This is crucial for business people, that you get into this mode where you say, there were three of us that were sort of the senior people around Newt, and you get into the mindset, Jim, where you say, if somebody comes up with an idea, you say to yourself, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, and we are really good at this. And if that had been a good idea, we would have already thought of it. So
that
would be a good idea.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens in any organization, political or business. And you've got to guard against that.
You got to be creative, and nothing is sacred. Stand by. Rich Galen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. Rich Galen's website, by the way, is mullings.com. I encourage you to check it out. He writes in a column three times a week, and you can get it by email. 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. The Small Business Advocate is celebrating 8 years this week of the Small Business Advocate Show. And thank you for all of your time that you spent with us, and all the listening and all the writing in and the words of encouragement. And some of you didn't encourage me. So I appreciate that, too. Those of you who were critical, we don't mind that at all. Rich Galen is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the writer and the publisher and the genius behind Mullings.com, the thrice-weekly cyber column. And Rich, they can still subscribe, can't they, every day at Mullings.com?
Yeah, forever. Well, it's free. It's like NPR. It's free if you want to get it for free. But if I can guilt you into paying $25, then that's what I do. Because it's an internet-based column, my readers are very vocal about everything from typos to factual errors to mistakes in my thinking. And I try to answer everybody at least once, and they fall into two general categories, apropos what you were just saying. One is, thank you for the kind words. The other is, get your own damn column.
Right. Hey, Rich, I want to talk a little bit about world politics a little bit, worldview.
Yeah.
We're going to have an election in Iraq in next month.
Right.
What
do you think, now you've been over there, you've spent some time over there, you contributed a lot of your time and a little bit of skin over there while you were there and put your life on hold and in harm's way to go over and help the Iraqis more than a year ago. And so you've got a pretty good handle on this. You're still staying in touch with the people who are in and out over there, as we are on this show. We interview some people who are still over there. But I've got a feeling that 8 months from now, there's going to be a lot of really good stuff coming out of Iraq. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. The danger is that I thought that the day I walked into the Green Zone in Baghdad in November of 2003, and I was wrong then. But here's the... I really do think
that... Yeah, but that was premature. You weren't wrong. You were just premature.
Well, I hope so. The fact that they continue to move their democracy ahead. A reporter was kind of wagging her finger in my face the other day about Chalabi being over here. And I said, we didn't put Chalabi in office. They did. I mean, we this is their government.
Right.
I suspect that if we had our druthers, he wouldn't be the vice president, but he is. And then, unless he does something illegal now or tries to harm us, that's the job that we're trying to do. We're trying to get these people to make their own decisions, and some of them will be good, and some of them will be bad. We make some bad decisions here as well, and when you put it in those kinds of terms, it does tend to change people around a little bit when they talk about the fact that they the referendum may have not have been perfect. I said, how perfect was Florida in 2000? We've been doing that for 200 years.
Well, Richard, here's the thing: by December. Correct me if I'm wrong. Will that be three or four elections in less than a year?
That will be the third in a year. Yes.
The third in a year, plus the development of a constitution.
Plus the development of a constitution, plus
democratic,
the election of a permanent parliament.
A democratic, from
a standing start.
A democratic nation in the heart of Arabia, never done before. Why isn't that a success story?
Well, it's not a success story, Jim, because I don't think I did my job as well as I should have done it, and the people who followed me haven't done it, unfortunately, any better. And it's a function. I talked to a retired New York Times reporter about this just the other day. It's a function of the news business becoming more of a business and less of an information medium.
It's not just about business. It's more which is tied to the business. It's more about the news alert rather than the news.
Exactly. That's what I was getting to. If you and I were if we were reporters for Fox, and we were filing stories about kids going to school every day, and women participating in the process every day, and the banking system getting back up and running, and investments.
Small businesses getting started over there like crazy.
Yeah, but we would, guess what? We would be sent home. I mean, because that nobody's going to sit and watch that, and the producers aren't going to want it. And whether it's TV or newspaper, what we are now into is how many eyes to the newspaper, how many eyes to the screen, and the bad guys know this,
yeah.
So they typically blow things up near where they think reporters are.
Rich, there's
a rush out and cover it.
A classic example of that I've already told the audience about was one day I was watching CNN, and it was the day that the Constitution was officially said to be ratified.
Right.
It was official. That day, that was the news. The news had just come in. They went to a break, and the talking head said, "Okay, when we come back after these messages, we're going to give you an update on the continuing violence in Iraq."
I got one. On the day of the referendum, a foreign correspondent from Newsweek and I were sitting at Fox in the studios, ready to go on, and Fox instead went to a burning building in Toledo.
Yeah, yeah, I believe.
Because they had live footage of that, and we never got on.
Well, the thing about it is there any wonder why, with that kind of news and with the soundbite mentality of the American public, is there any wonder why, when you poll people and say, are we winning or losing in Iraq, they say, no, we're losing in Iraq, let's get out of there.
Well, there is that, but I'll tell you the bigger thing I think, Jim, to be fair about this, is the constant the constant drip of American deaths and injuries,
yep.
And that's heartbreaking, and it just has worn the country out, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see how things go in the next 8 months. Hey, Rich, thanks for the last several years.
Thank you, my friend. Congratulations. Let's be here again 8 years down the road.
I like that. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, that's Mullings.com. If you're Republican, you're going to want that column. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to.
Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break, right back with our good friend Tim Berry. He's the world's expert on business planning. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.